Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Baba Kama. We're going to Be'ezus Hashem finish off the seventh perek. We're doing Daf Pei Beis and Be'ezus Hashem Pei Gimel Omid Aleph. Yemiyetz Hashem, our learning should be Zchus for all the Chayilei Tzvos, Haganoli Yisrael, all the Kochas HaBitachon to be successful in everything that they do, to be safe, to bring back the Chatufim, and to bring Shalom our Kol Kla Yisrael. Okay. We pick up, yesterday we went through the 10 takanos that Yoshua was masne for Klal Yisrael, and similarly, today we're going to have 10 takanos that Ezra was misakin when he came in at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni, so he also was misakin 10 takanos. So Asara takanos tikin Ezra, we begin Pei Beis Omid Aleph by the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top, Pei Beis Omid Aleph. So Asara Takonos Tikin Ezra. Ezra set up 10 Takonos, parallel to somewhat the way Yoshua set up 10 Takonos when he came into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Shekorin B'mincha B'Shabbos, that we read the Torah on Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. The Gemara again will go through all 10 of these Takonos in greater detail. Right now we're just really reading the words. So the first one is that Ezra was misakin that we lay Shabbos afternoon by Mincha time. Shekorin b'mincha b'Shabbos. Number two, the Korin b'sheni v'chamishi. He also set up laying on Mondays and Thursdays. Why b'davka Mondays and Thursdays? The Tosus brings down that this is based upon the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and came down from Shemayim, went up on a Thursday, came down on a Monday, and therefore this was a eis rotzo for Klal Yisrael. Kosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for the sin of the Egel and ultimately gave us the second Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu went up three times. The first time to get the first Luchos, the second time to have Kapara for Klal Yisrael, and then the third time he came down with the second Luchos. So he went up on a Thursday, came down eventually on a Monday. So therefore, this eis rotzo, Tosa says, and that's why Bedavka, he set up the laning, Ezra set up the laning on Mondays and Thursdays. Number three, V'donin B'sheni V'chamishi. Likewise, they judge the people on Mondays and Thursdays. When people were in the villages, they didn't have a Beis Din in their own town, so they had to come into the bigger cities, and the bigger cities would often have a Beis Din every day of the week, but Ezra was misakin that they should have a Beis Din in every city on Mondays and Thursdays. So the bigger cities would be able to have a Beis Din all the time for the people from the smaller villages to come in on Mondays and Thursdays. And in addition, once they were set up on Mondays and Thursdays, that's another reason why the laning was done on Mondays and Thursdays, and that's why we have other practices and customs that are done related to the Monday and Thursday, the Beis Din convene. Okay, that's number three. Number four, Umechabsin b'chamishi b'shabbos. They would go do the laundry. Mechabsin actually tells us is big day. They would do the laundry on Thursday, so they would have nice, clean clothing for Shabbos. In addition, the El Yoraba brings down that if they were to do the laundries on Friday, so then it might still be wet in time for Shabbos, and that would be a problem. Okay. Then, number five, the Ochlin Shum, the Erev Shabbos. They would specifically have Shum, garlic, because we wanted to increase the Zera of the husbands, and the Shum will increase the Zera. The more we discuss this in more detail, and the Vilna Gaon and others bring down that they would the Davka have Shum, garlic, that was cooked, so it wasn't so hard on the breath, wouldn't be so difficult to eat, and therefore it was much more pleasant. Okay, number six, Vishatei Isha Mashkemes the Ofa, that women would get up early, some suggest that this is on Friday morning, and go and bake for Shabbos, and they would get up Badafka early in the morning, the Gemara will tell us, in order that there should be food for the Aniyim. As Rashi points out over here, B'yom Shehi Tzrichel Ofos, whenever she needs to go and bake, again, some of the Farshim specifically say this is Friday morning, so she would go break early in the morning, V'ofe Shachris, Kin the Farsh, like the Gemara will tell her, Shetei Pas Mitzuya Lo'ani HaMechazah, so it'll be bread available for the poor people that are looking for food. Okay, that was number six. Now we go on to number seven. Shetei Isha Chogeres Besinor, that a woman would go and wear, Rashi says, Dugmas Michnosayim Kitanim, that the women would wear underpants, they would wear undergarments. And this is for tznius purposes, as we'll tell us, but there is also Yerushalmi. The Shalmi Tzuyonim brings down that there was a Maisa Shahaya with a monkey that had attacked a woman, and therefore they were misakin that the women should wear underwear, undergarments. And the nafkamina between these two reasons, whether it's for tzniyah's purposes or whether it's because of this attack from the kof, so that would be in her own house where there's no concern with tzniyah, the woman wouldn't have to wear this sinar. As opposed to if the reason was, as Yerushalmi said, because of this maisa with the monkey, so then even in her own house, the woman would have to wear these sinar, these undergarments. Okay, next, number eight, Vishatei Isha Chofefes Vitovelis. Before a woman goes to the mikvah, she would have to go and shampoo her hair, and only then would go to the mikvah. And the Gemara will discuss exactly what this was, because after all, isn't this a Din D'oraisa? Then number 9, Shurochlin Machzirin Bayoros, that there would be peddlers that would go around from city to city and go and peddle their wares to the women, specifically cosmetics and perfumes, in order that the women should be desirable to their husbands. And finally, number 10, the Tikain Ezra Tevilo Lebali Keryon. So Ezra was misaking that a person was a Balkeri, he had a nocturnal emission, would have to go to the mikveh before he would go and daven and learn the next day. Now, here it specifically says Vatikain, Ezra was Misakim. Why did it mention it over here? So, Shita Mukubetzes brings down that all the other first 9 takanos were widely accepted by all members of Chai Yisrael, as opposed to this takanas Ezra was not. We don't paskin like it, as we'll see in Tosus on the Omid Beis, that Tosus brings down that we do not paskin like this takanas Ezra. It's very laudable if somebody follows it, but we don't paskin that way. And we'll see this Tosus when we get to the Omid Beis. So that's what the Shita Mukubetz says. Incidentally, the Shita Mukubetz also says that the reason for the woman wearing the sinar was a very practical reason. So the Shita says that if she didn't wear these other garments, then when the woman is menstruating, it would make her clothing potentially bloody and it would be embarrassing, and therefore they would wear these undergarments in order to protect the woman's dignity as well as her clothing. Okay, so these are the 10 takanos that Ezra was misakein, and now we'll discuss them all in more detail. So the number 1 was shiu korin b'mincha b'shabbos mishum yoshei kronos. So the Gemara now tells us why was Ezra misakein to go and lay on Shabbos afternoons by mincha time because of the yoshei kronos. Rashi tells us who are the yoshei kronos. These are yoshei chanuyos. These are the people that would work all week long in their shops. All week long, they're very, very busy with their business. They didn't get a chance to even go to shul and hear the laning on Mondays and Thursdays. So therefore, Ezra was in the sacking, Tigum Beginayu, Kriya Yeseru. So Ezra set up a separate extra laning for them so they at least have a little bit of Torah on Shabbos afternoon. After all, the people who learn all week long, they're supposed to sleep Shabbos afternoon. But the people that are working all week long, they're supposed to learn Shabbos afternoon. Okay, so that's what Ezra was misaking. That's the opinion of Rashi, what the Yoshei Kronos saw. Others explain that the Yoshei Kronos are people that are wasting their time. They're people that don't really end up going to shul much. And therefore, these people are not learning. So Ezra was misaking that they should go learn extra. So therefore, he said that they should go and set up extra learning, extra Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon. After all, these people had nothing else to do. They couldn't work. They kept Shabbos. And therefore, they wouldn't have naturally learned on their own. So therefore, Ezra was misakin to have another set of laning. Okay. Then Ezra was misakin that they should lay on Mondays and Thursdays. Shu kar b'sheni v'chamishi. More questions. This says, really? Ezra was the one that was misakin this? Ezra tikein? V'ha me'ikara having misakna. This was a much earlier takana. Where do we see this from? This is from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tanya. Vayechu shloshes yomim b'midbar v'lo matzumayim. The famous pasuk said that after they crossed the Yamsuf, so they went for 3 days in the Midbar, and they didn't have any water. What does it mean, they didn't have any water? So the Darshei Rishumos Amru, so the great Chachamim who darshin psukim, that's one explanation of Darshei Rishumos. Rashi in Daniel tells us that this is Darshei Psukim. They were the ones that were Darshan the Psukim. As Daniel says, Es HaRoshum B'Chsav Emes. So that's one explanation. Alternatively, Rashi in Brachos tells us that these were people that Darshan very deep ideas, Kisharim Ustumim HaKlulim B'Torah. So they Darshaned all sorts of things in the Torah. So the Darshei Rishumos, these people who Darshan so well, say they Darshan this Pasuk, Bayechu Shoshamim B'Midbar V'Losu Moyim, don't say that they went in the desert, in the wilderness, and didn't find water. It means Ein Mayim Ela Torah. They didn't have Torah. They went 3 days without learning Torah. Shenemar, Hoy Kol Tzamei Luchu Lamayim. As the famous pasuk from Yeshaya tells us, when you're thirsty, you have to go and drink water. All those that are thirsty for Torah should go and drink water. This is based upon the pasuk. Vishlachti Rav Baretz, Lo Rav Lalechem, Velo Tzomo Lamayim, the famous song, Kiyim Lishmoa as Divrei Hashem. So this reference to water being Torah, we always mention that water always goes to the lowest spot. The natural characteristics of water will always sink to the lowest level. So too, the Torah goes to the person who's most humble. In any event, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Now, it says that they didn't have water for 3 days, Lo Matzu Mayim. So Kivan Shalchu Shlosh Shemim Lo Sora. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu set it up. Nilu, he saw the Jewish people were very, very tired. Nilu means they were exhausted, they were tired. And therefore, Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneyem, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im there, set up the Siknu Lehem, Shukarin B'Shabbos, U'mafsikin B'Echel B'Shabbos. They would lay on Shabbos. Then they would not necessarily laying on Sunday. They still learn, of course. They wouldn't necessarily have laying on Sunday. Then they would laying on Monday. So, Mafsikim B'Echel B'Shabbos, they would not have any laying on Sunday. Then, V'Korim B'Sheni, they would read again the Torah on Monday. Then, Umavsikin shlishi rvi, they only have a 2-day break because you can't go 3 days without water. It's interesting. The Shar Mitzvot Balacha says that if you go 3 days, we learned that if you do something 3 times, you're like a Shar Muad. So it becomes natural for you. So if they went 3 days without learning Torah, so they would be Muad not to learn Torah. Interesting. For Masech to Bava Kama. In any event, so they didn't learn publicly the Torah by having laning on Tuesday and Wednesday, so then they needed it again on Thursday. And then they could not have a laning on Friday, and then they would lane again, of course, on Shabbos. And the purpose here was, so they wouldn't go 3 days without learning Torah. And again, why would Dafka Mondays and Thursdays? So we explained already to Tosos, those were Yemei Ratzon. So what do we see from here? That how can you tell me that Ezra's Misakin to lay on Mondays and Thursdays? You see that already from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im in the Midbar? So Gemara says, no. Mei Kara, the times of the Midbar, Tiknu Chad Gavra, they only set up that one person would lay plus a psukim. He would read 3 psukim. Or alternatively, Inami, they had Tlosa Gavra, they would have 3 people read, but only 1 pasuk each, Tlosa Psuke in total. And why 3? What's the magical number 3? Keneged Kohan Levim Yisrael. That was Keneged, the Kohan Levim Yisrael, the 3 types of main Jewish people. So they would lay either 3 psukim, or they would have 1 person laying 3 psukim. Well, if either 3 people lay 1 pasuk, or 1 person laying 3 psukim. Now, that was from the Midbar. Along comes Ezra, also who, Ezra comes, and Tikein Tlosa Gavre Vasara Psuke. So Ezra comes along and says, no, we're going to have 3 people read a total of 10 psukim. We read either 3-3-4 or 3-4-3 or 4-3-3. Gemara elsewhere discusses what's the best way to break up the laning, but you never have a person laying less than 3 psukim, and the minimal amount of laning is 10 psukim. The one exception to that, the exception that proves the rule, is of course on Purim when we just have 9 psukim that we lay. Okay, now, by Asar Psukim, these 10 psukim are divided up by the 3 people. Where do you get 10 psukim from? Keneged Asar Baklonim. This is against the 10 people that always are found in the shul. What does this mean? So, Rashi elsewhere, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Shebeis HaKnesses, Shem B'Telim Mimlachton. These people were always in shul. That was their job, so to say, to be in the shul, and they didn't have other jobs. The shul paid for them to be there in the shul at all times. V'nizonim Mishol Tzibur. The Tzibur supported them. Kidei Lios Mitzuyim B'Tfilah Bebeis HaKnesses. So there would always be a minion in the shul. The Amar Mar, because the Gemara in Brachos tells us in Daf Vav on Mubeis, Kivin Shabbat Hakadosh Baruch Hu Beis HaKnesses Ve'Eino Motzi Shom Asara. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes to a shul and he doesn't find 10 people there, it, so to say, gets Hakadosh Baruch Hu very upset. It brings an anger to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, to prevent this, they would always have a set group of people. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us exactly what jobs these people had. They had various types of court positions, stalker positions, other positions, and there were always these 10 people, so to say, in waiting, so that they would always have the minion whenever they needed it. So that's what the 10 psukim comes from, Asara psuki, keneged Asara batlon. These 10 people that were bottled for work because their job was to make sure that there always was a minion. Gemara continues with the 3rd takon of Ezra, vidonin b'sheni v'chamishi. The Beis Din set up courts on Mondays and Thursdays in all the cities. So this way the people in that city, as well as the people from surrounding villages, would have a place to come to adjudicate all their cases. The Gemara says, because the shriche, the osu l'mikro b'sifra, because they would come in to hear the Torah reading on those days, because they didn't have necessarily a minion or people capable of learning and reading the Torah in their old small villages, so everybody would gather anyway on Mondays and Thursdays because of the Torah reading, so therefore they said, well, once we're already having the Torah reading, let's set up the Beis Dins for those days as well. The next takon of Ezra, Vishyu Mechabsin B'chamishi B'Shabbos, that they would bedavka go and do the laundry on Thursday, L'Kovet Shabbos, as Rashi had said. And as we pointed out already previously, they didn't want to do it on Friday because they were concerned it would still be wet, and that would be a problem for wearing it on Shabbos. So this Thursday was the best time to have things ready for Shabbos to show covered for the Shabbos. The next takon of Ezra was Rishu Ochlin Shum the Erev Shabbos. They would bedavka go and eat garlic on Erev Shabbos. It's machlokas among some of the poskim as to whether this literally means on Erev Shabbos, which means Friday afternoon, or does it mean actually on Friday night. So the Shor Mitzvah brings down that the Rambam and other poskim say that it really means Friday night after Shabbos has already started. Whereas others say, no, it means on Friday afternoon. And as I already pointed out previously, the Shor Mitzvah Be'alocha brings down from the Vilna Gaon, also from the Maariv Tzchias and the Rishash, that they would have shum that was mevushal, it was cooked, so it wouldn't give a bad odor to the mouth. And the reasoning why they would have shum on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, mishum ona, because a Talmud Chacham usually is learning all week long. He comes home on Friday night to be with his wife. So this is the, quote, ona. This is the requirement that the husband has to go and please his wife. So this was the ona for Talmud Chacham, was once a week on Friday night. And therefore, the chsiv, as the pasuk tells us, asher piryo yitain beito. The pasuk says in Tehillim that the proper time for the fruits to go and bring forth their fruits, so there's a right time, an optimal time to do this. And for the Talmud Chacham, the optimal time for him to have relations with his wife is on Friday night, when he's not spending all of his time in the base medrash learning, but he comes home to enjoy the Shabbos, so he'll spend time with his wife. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, V'itemer Rav Nachman, others say it was Rav Nachman, others say V'itemer Rav Kahana, V'itemer Rav Yochanan, whoever it was, one of these four Amoraim said it, that this reference in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Piryo, B'itemer Ito, is a reference to Zeh HaMishamish Mitoso, Me'er Shabbos L'er Shabbos. This is for a Talmud Chacham, who has the ona for his wife once a week on Friday nights, and therefore it is appropriate for him to have shum then, because Tanu Rabban, we learned in the Braisa that Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shum, there are five things that were said B'Davka about garlic. Number one, Mazbia, it goes and satisfies the person. It's a healthy food, and it satisfies the person who eats it. Number two, it is Mashkin. What does Mashkin mean? Sirashi tells us that Mashkin means Mechamim Esaguf. It goes and warms up his body. Number three, Umatzil Panim, it makes his face shine. And number four, Umar Bahaz. Here's the critical point. It goes and increases the zera, the likelihood of him impregnating his wife. The shum goes and makes that more likely. So therefore, that's why B'davka, if he's going to have relations with his wife, we want his zera to be, quote, at peak potency. So that's one of the reasons why Chazal said to B'davka have the shum on Erev Shabbos. And in addition, number five, Lahori Kinim Shibnei Meyayim. It can serve also as a very effective agent against the Kinim. Literally, Kinim means lice, but here it doesn't mean lice necessarily. It means all the parasitic infections that are very common in the Middle East, so that are inside the intestines of a person, the shum will also be effective against those parasites. So those are the five reasons that the Braisa brings, and then it brings the V'yesh Omrim. It tells us another reason is it's also Machnis Ava Umotzi Esakina. The shum will somehow bring in love into the marriage, and it will remove the jealousy. How does it exactly do that? So Rashi explains the Dibra Masku Machnis Esuava Mito Shim Sameach Esalev. It makes the heart glad. In the stomach, if a person is happier, so jealousy will not be there. He'll have more of a loving relationship with his wife. Things somehow fall aside when you're in love. So things that would normally bother you, they don't. So therefore, that's the Yesh Omrim giving us another reason why there would be Dafke Institute Chacham, that people should have shum on Friday night, Friday afternoon. Okay, next. Ezra said, V'shutei isha mashkemes v'yofa, that a woman should get up early in the morning. Rashi said anytime she's baking, and some of the Mepharshim explained that this is really talking about Friday morning. She's baking the challahs for Shabbos. So why, bedavka, should she get up early? Why not make the challahs at 10 o'clock in the morning? Why 6 o'clock in the morning? Shetei pas mitzuyu lani. The Gemara tells us so that when poor people are going, as Rashi said, shetei pas mitzuyu l'oni hamachaze, when the oni is nebuch knocking from door to door for some bread to have, so there'll be bread already available, and therefore that's why the women should get up at davka early to do this. Then Ezra in number 7, Takana number 7, if she's the hey Isha Chogeres Besinar, we said that a woman should wear these undergarments. So we brought down the reason that the Gemara gives, Mishum Tzniusa, because it's immodest for her not to wear undergarments. We brought down the Yushami that said about the strange Maisa with a kof, and we also said the Shita Mekubeses brought down that the purpose of the Sinar was also to protect her from menstrual bleeding. It shouldn't stain her clothing. Okay, the next takon of Ezra was a shetei isha chofefes v'tovelis, that a woman should go and shampoo her hair before she goes to the mikvah to get rid of any chatzitzus. Gemara says, this is a din d'rabbanon, this is a takon of Ezra, d'raisi, this is a din d'raisa. It's based upon the pasuk, the tanya, the pasuk tells us, v'rochatz es b'saro b'mayim. This is a pasuk from Tazria where it says, "Vayom vayom ashriy galaches kol saro es rosho v'ezekano v'ez gabosino v'ez kol saro yigaleach." And then the chibes es bigodav v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim v'toher. So you need to wash your entire body in order to become tohar. Shelo yeh dover chotzeis bein b'saro l'mayim. There can be nothing interposing, no chatzitza between your flesh and the water. But it doesn't say the word v'rachatz b'saro. It says S bisaro. What does the S come to teach us? S hatofel bisaro comes to teach us something that is subordinate to your skin that also can't have any interposition between it and the water. What is subordinate to your skin? Umayniu sayer. This is the hair. So minatori, you see from the words S bisaro, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. So what are you telling me? The S was misaki and that the woman should get rid of the chatzitzas by shampooing her hair? So din daraisa. So it says no. On a Daraisa level, Amri, the Torah tells us Daraisa liayune, that it's a din Daraisa to go and look to see if there is anything chotzeis. Maybe Dilma, Miktar, maybe there's something there that is knotted, and the hair it's knotted, then the water can't get into the hair. Inami, Mos Midi, maybe there's something that's disgusting over there. Rashi says, Meluchloch, it's filthy, and that would be a chatzitza. And therefore, either that it is knotted or it's dirty, Mishum Chatzitza. So that's on a din Daraisa that you have to go and look to make sure that there is no chatzitza over there. And we turn to Pei Beis on the Beis. But also, Iyuin, along comes Ezra and Tikain Chafifa. Ezra said, it's not enough just to look. Go and comb your hair. Go and wash your hair, shampoo your hair, to make sure that there is no chatzitza. So therefore, Ezra was the one who was nasaki, and that you should go and shampoo the hair, and wash the hair, and comb the hair, in order to guarantee that there's no chatzitza. It's not enough midoraisa. It is, but not enough midorabanan, according to Ezra, to just look and inspect. That would satisfy the din doraisa. Ezra went and was nasaki to do it even more. The ninth takon of Ezra was v'sheyu rochlin mechazun bayaros, that the peddler should go and go from city to city, town to town, mishum tachshitei noshim, in order to go sell the women jewelry and cosmetics and all sorts of perfumes. Why? Kidei shlo yisganu abaleim, because if they had a bad odor about them, if they didn't smell nice, they didn't look nice, so then their husbands might find them ugly looking, and that could lead to chas v'shalom, lack of shalom bayis. So therefore, the rabbis instituted that these peddlers should go. Now, you could argue that the husbands might say, no, we don't want the peddlers to go. We don't want these peddlers to be alone with women. We don't want to spend money. So therefore, regardless of what the husband wants, the rabbis instituted over here for the benefit of the women, that the peddlers have a right to go, even if the husbands say, no, we don't want you coming to this part of the town. And then the final takon of Ezra, which we said, it uses the lashon v'tikain, so Ezra's misakin tfila lebale kiryat. Ezra said that a baal keri has to go be tovel before he can go daven, before he can go learn. Morris says, really? This was a takon of Ezra? Daraisahu. This is a daraisa. Now, before we brought down the pasuk, v'rachatz es bisoro b'mayim. So here, the Gemara actually looks like it's bringing that pasuk, but it's actually a mistake. And it shouldn't be that pasuk, but it should instead be the following pasuk. D'chsiv, v'ish ki seisei mimenu shichvas zora, v'rachatz, not es bisoro b'mayim. That was the pasuk we had previously. V'rachatz b'mayim es kol bisoro. So this comes to teach us that a baal keri, a person who has ki tseh seh menu shechva zera, so he has to go and wash his body. In other words, he has to be tova. So why are you telling me Ezra's misaking this? There's a pasuk. So the pasuk tells us that you have to go and immerse yourself. You have to go and be tova. So the Gemara says, no. On a daraisa level, daraisa, this is essential who? Only for l'truma v'kachim, only for eating truma, and only for eating kachim. However, to learn Torah, or to daven, technically, you could be a baal keri, and that is, in fact, the halacha. But along came Ezra, also who? Ezra comes along, who tikein afilu l'divrei Torah. Ezra came along and says, you want to daven, you want to learn, you should go to the mikvah first. Now, again, as I pointed out, and here we'll see it inside in Tosos, in the top Tosos, also you, v'tikein, so he brings down lo kaim alon hochi. We don't paskin like this takon of Ezra. Ella, we paskin like Yehudim v'seira. Yehudim v'seira says in the Gemara, in Chulin and in Brachos, Divrei Torah ain mekablin tuma, that even though you're a baal keri, so you can't go and be metame the Torah. You can't be metame the davening, so to say. And therefore, it's not mekabel tuma. And therefore, ha'idna nog alma kitloso sabe. We pass it like Yehudim v'seira and the other chachamim, the three sages that said that we do not paskin like Ezra. And while many still have the custom today to go to the mikvah before they daven, before they learn, that is not the halacha maisa. That's a midus chasidus, a very nice and wonderful thing, but it's not a chiyuv. Okay, so that explains why this was a takana of Ezra and why it uses the lashon of v'tikein, because we don't paskin like this takana of Ezra. Gemara continues and says, well, since we talked about the 10 takanas of Yoshua and yes, this year, the 10 takanas of Ezra in the first part of today's year, so now we're going to have another 10. Asara dvarim nemru b'Yerushalayim. The following 10 things were said about Yerushalayim. What are they? So, ein habayis cholut ba, that there is no din of a bate arich oma in regards to a sale of a house in Yerushalayim. Normally, there are two types of houses. There's a steya chaluza, which is a field that is allowed to be redeemed at any point in time, if the owner wishes to buy it back. However, even if the owner doesn't buy it back, it will go back to the owner at the end of the yovel. And therefore, the person who buys it on a prorated purchase price. So he buys it in year number one. So buy it for 49th of the total cost. If he buys it in year number two, so then he'll pay 48th of the 49th. If he buys it in number three, he'll pay 47th, 49th, etc. So it's prorated. That's a stay achuzah. However, if you buy a house in a walled city, there's a special din that the person who sells it has the right to buy it back, even against the will of the person who purchased it in the first year. But after that first year, he can't buy it back against the will of the person who purchased it. And it also doesn't go back at the Yovel. So, Yerushalayim is a walled city. So technically, the din of a Batei Ari Choma should apply in Yerushalayim. So what the Gemara is telling us, that Yerushalayim doesn't have the din of Batei Ari Choma. Ein habayis cholut ba. So there is no such din of Batei Ari Choma in Yerushalayim. The Gemara will explain why this and all the other first couple of reasons that we'd say about Yerushalayim is because Yerushalayim doesn't really belong to anybody. Yerushalayim belongs to all of Klai Yisrael. According to the opinion of this Braisa here, the status of Yerushalayim is that it belongs to everybody. It's a universal city for the Jewish people. And it doesn't belong to the Shevet of Binyamin and the Shevet of Yehuda, like the other opinion holds. So therefore, there is no din of Batei Ari Choma, as we'll bring Psukim to show that that only applies in a city that is owned by individuals in Klal Yisrael. Second thing about Yerushalayim is that the Eino Mevia Egla Rufa. The din of Egla Rufa is a very unusual, strange din, that if Rahman al-Islam, they find the person dead in between cities, so you measure out to which city it's closest to, and that city has to bring the Egla Rufa. The Chacham have to say that we did not see this person, we didn't ignore this person, we did not escort this person, we did not feed this person, because Mistama, the person was killed trying to rob somebody because nobody helped him out. So therefore, the closest city, you measure off which is the closest city, and they do the Egla Rufa process. What happens if the closest city is Yerushalayim? So this Bryce is telling us that there is no din of Egla Rufa for Yerushalayim. Again, it'll be based on Psukim that Yerushalayim doesn't belong to anybody. The next din is Veinu Nasis Irani Dachas. There is a terrible crime that if the entire city or the majority of the city goes and worships Avodah Zarah, so then the city is treated in a different way than if an individual worships Avodah Zarah. And part of the din is that the entire city is burnt down and the people that worship the Avodah Zarah are all killed. They get Mises based in. So Yerushalayim can never become a Ir HaNidachas, because you'd have to destroy Yerushalayim and it's never allowed to be rebuilt if it's an Ir HaNidachas. And of course, Yerushalayim will never be destroyed fully, and it is, of course, allowed to be rebuilt. We wait for it to be rebuilt every single day. Yerushalayim HaBnuya should be with Mashiach Tzikeinu, with Meira. So Yerushalayim can never be an Ir HaNidachas. Again, Psukim will be brought to show because it doesn't belong to anybody. An Ir HaNidachas has to belong to somebody. The fourth statement about Yerushalayim, Beino Mitama B'Negoy. There is no din of Tzoras of Batim in Yerushalayim. There is many different types of tzaras. You have tzaras on a person's flesh, you can have tzaras on clothing, and you can have tzaras on a house. So the houses in Yerushalayim can never become having a din of a nega on them. Again, all four of these first reasons is because Yerushalayim is not considered owned by anybody. It's universal property for the Jewish people, and therefore none of these dinim apply unless it's owned by individuals. The fifth statement about Yerushalayim is Emotziim ba zizin ugzuz tros. We don't have sorts of projections coming out from a wall. Zizin are like columns or beams coming out of a wall, and ugzuz tros are like balconies, overhead ledges where you could walk on them. You're not allowed to have these things in Yerushalayim because in case there would be some sort of tumas mace or some sort of a tuma that would have the din of ohel, so we don't want to have any of these projections or any of these ledges that you could be mile over the tuma as well as over taharos or a person, and therefore they didn't allow such overhead projections in Yerushalayim. The next item about Yerushalayim, vein osim bo ashpos. You don't go and make garbage dumps, an ashpa, a garbage dump in Yerushalayim. Again, because we're concerned that you're going to have shratzim over there. There'll be dead shratzim that could be metame. And now many of the things that we're continuing to talk about here are all because of Tormentara, or because of beautification of the city. So the next one is vein osim bo kivshonos. We don't make utensils. We don't make a kivshon, a hot oven, a kiln in the city of Yerushalayim, because we don't want there to be smoke there and make the city ugly looking. Furthermore, they know some more ginos upardesos. We don't go and put in all sorts of gardens and orchards there because they're going to require fertilizer and that will be foul smelling, or because they themselves will decompose and be foul smelling. However, there is one garden that's allowed, chutz. Now we have the girsa ginos voridin. This is gardens of roses, which was a necessary ingredient for the ketores, Rashi tells us. That is kipas hayardin. And according to the girsa that Rashi has, it was one specific garden. Rashi doesn't have the girsa ginos. Rashi has the girsa ginas voridin. Kach shema, it was a specific garden. This is the ingredient known as kipas hayardin. And it was al shem, and it was called this because there was a derech, horad legadel al svas hayardin. You'd go down to it by the yardin. In any event, this single garden, according to Rashi, was allowed to be maintained in Yerushalayim, but all the other gardens were not, for the reasons that I mentioned that we'll see still in the Gemara. Shayu mimos neviim harishonim. And by the way, this ginas voridin was an ancient garden that was present already from the earlier neviim during the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. Then finally, it tells us Yerushalayim eimei gadlim bo tarnagolim. We had that previously in yesterday's shir because of the concerns that the tarnagolim will have all sorts of shrutzim there that also be metame, and we don't want them going and be metame taharos in Yerushalayim. And the eimei linin bo esanes, and you bury somebody immediately, even if it's at nighttime. Immediately in Yerushalayim, we don't allow halonas sames, even though we never allow halonas sames, but in Yerushalayim, we really don't allow it, even if there might be halachically acceptable reasons. Yerushalayim buries right away. Okay, these are the Asara Dvarim that were said about Yerushalayim, and now the Gemara will go through them in a little bit more detail. So we start off with the first one, which was Ein Habayis Cholut Ba. Then Yerushalayim, there is no din of Batei Arei Choma. How do we know that? Tachsiv, V'kam Habayis, the Pasuk tells us, V'kam Habayis, and the house will be returned, Asher Bo'ir. We don't have that in our Gemara. That is in the city, and then it tells us Asher lo chomo latzmisus, that it will be not able to be redeemed forever. Lakone oso ledorosav, it will belong to the purchaser for all time. It doesn't go back at the Yovel, and after that first year, you don't have the right to go and redeem it anymore. Of course, you can buy it back if everybody's in agreement, but you can't force the person that you sold it to allow you to buy it back from him. Now, the pasuk says v'kasavar lo nischalko Yerushalayim lishvatim. This man the Omar holds that Yerushalayim wasn't given over to a specific shevet, to specific people. It was given over to all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when it says, Asher lo choma, it will belong to him. It doesn't belong to him. And therefore, it's not included in the din of Batei Arei Choma. Mark continues and says a very similar explanation for the next couple of items. So the second item was, Eino mevio egla rufa. Yerushalayim never brings an egla rufa. We find the dead body that is nearby two different cities. If one of them is Yerushalayim, we don't measure it out. The other city will bring the egla rufa. Why is that? Again, because the pasuk tells us, Ki motzei chalol bo adama, asher Hashem alokecha, no sein lecha lirishta. If you'll find in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. So individual Shvatim were given that land, individual people given that land, as opposed to Yerushalayim, lo nischalko l'shvatim. According to, again, Arman the Omar, he holds that Yerushalayim wasn't given over to a particular Shevet, let's say for argument's sake, Yehuda and Binyamin. It wasn't given over to them, it was given over to all Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's not included in of Egla Rufa, because it has to be Hashem Elokecha Nosein L'cha L'rishta. Similarly, the next item, they know, Nasas Ir Hanidachas, Yerushalayim can't become an Ir Hanidachas, Rechmona Litzlan, if the majority of the people in Yerushalayim take a worship of Avodah Zarah, the dinim of Ir Nidachas wouldn't apply to it, because the Pasuk says, V'yorecha. The whole Pasuk is, Kishishma B'yachas Arecha, Nebuch will be heard in one of your cities, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein L'cha, that Hashem will give you, L'shev Esom Leymar, that it will be in one of your cities, Arecha. So therefore, it has to be Arecha, and not a city that belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore Yerushalayim is not included in the din of Ir Nidachas. Similarly, the next memra is Ve'eino Mitama B'negoyim. Yerushalayim can't have a naga on the batim in Yerushalayim. Why is that? Because the pasuk says in this Dirsiv, Kisavol Eretz Kinan, Asher Ninosein Lochem Lachuzah, and it says, V'nosati Nega Tzaras B'veis Eretz Achuzaschem, in your possession, in your achuza, and Yerushalayim lo nischalko l'shvatim. So this is really the same for all for the first four reasons. Yerushalayim doesn't have all of these dinim. It doesn't have the din of Batei Arei Choma, doesn't have the din of Egla Rufa, doesn't have the din of Ir Nidachas, and it doesn't have the din of Tumas Negoyim. Okay, the fifth statement was, they motzim bo zizin ugzusteros. You're not allowed to go build out these projections, these beams or balconies that go out from the wall. They're projecting out from the wall because they could make tumas ohel, as the Gemara tells us, nei ohel hatuma umishum delo lizaku ole regolim. For two reasons. The first one is tuma and tara. You could easily have underneath one area, Rashi tells us, Shema ye kizayis ben ameis mutal ba'aretz. You'd have a kizayis of a mace, a small amount of a mace. You don't realize it's under this big balcony. Vagzustros ma'ilos love, and you have these projections out, or these balconies out, that go and are mile over the tumas mace, and somebody walking there with taharos. V'alanoshim harbe, and it is this marbe asatuma, and therefore you're causing a lot of people to come tummy without realizing it. So that's reason number one. And then the Gemara says also, in order not to hurt people, these are relatively low-hanging projections and ledges and balconies that come out, and therefore it's possible the person might not see them. There's so many people that are coming to be Ola Regel, and all of a sudden somebody's having to walk very close to the wall, and he's going to bang his head. So therefore, the Chacham said, don't go and build these Zizin and Gzustros in Yerushalayim. So that's the first five items about Yerushalayim, and then we have the Ein Osim Bo Ashpasos Mishum Shkotzim. That's the Girsa that we have. Rashi has the Girsa Mishum Shrotzim. Shkotzim and Shrotzim are very similar. They're talking about a similar idea. The creepy crawling creatures, the Shrotzim specifically, the Shmona Shrotzim that we have mentioned in Parsha Shmini and in Parsha Re, they come to teach us that these Shrotzim have the capability of being Metame, Tumas, Maga, and Masa with the dead bodies of these Shrotzim. So we don't allow you to have these garbage dumps in Yerushalayim, put them outside the city, because if you have these garbage dumps in the city, so Rashi says, Darkon Ligodol B'Ashpa, lots of these Shrotzim are going to live over there, and then they're going to die over there. They're only Metame when they're dead. Umar Bim Tumma, Lefisha Mesim Shom, because they're going to die there, Umetame Makotch Yerushalayim, and people are not going to realize it, and they're going to come and become Tame from touching these Shrotzim, or moving these Shrotzim. So that's number six. Number seven, they ain't osim bar kivshonos. You're not allowed to have these kilns, these big ovens to make pots in Yerushalayim. Why? Mishum kutra, because of the smoke. Rashi says kutra is oshon, shemashlir es hachom. It's going to blacken the walls. It's going to make the city not look beautiful. Yerushalayim's a beautiful city. You want to do everything possible to make it nice and pristine and clean and not have blackened walls. So that was number seven. Number eight, the Ein Osim Bo Ginos Ufardesin. So we had mentioned before, this is general gardens and orchards. Mishum Sircha. The Sircha, Rashi has the Girsa of Sirchon. These are Asovim Royim. These are dead grasses, so to say, Hagdelim Shom, that are going to grow there, like weeds. Vizarkin Bechutz. And they're going to have to de-weed the area and throw them out into the streets. And it's going to have a foul smell there. The Ode, Derech Gnus Lezavlon. And furthermore, you need to go and use a lot of fertilizer to make these gardens and orchards grow nicely. V'yesh Sirchon, it's going to give a foul odor. So therefore, that's number eight, that we don't allow you to do this. However, you are allowed to grow one garden, as Rashi has the Girsa, and that was this special garden that we had said, the Ginas Vrodin. Fine. Now, number nine, Vein Megadlim Bo Tarnegolim. We had this the other day in the shir. We said you can't have chickens there because the chickens go peck around in the garbage areas and amongst all the different shrotzim that are out there that are dead. Mishum kochim, and they're going to go, Rashi says, Shetarnegolim Minakrim Biashba. They're going to constantly peck in the garbage areas. Umevim Bos or Shrotzim Befim, and they're going to carry little pieces of dead sherets there. Umetamin is a kochim, and this little amount, it needs to be just the size of a kiradasha. And as a result, you're going to again be marbe tumah in people and in kochim and tyros. So therefore, we don't allow that. And finally, the last one, they melin in bo es a mace. We don't allow a mace to stay over in Yerushalayim. We bury right away at night and in the rain, whenever it is, we bury right away. And Gemara says the reason for this is Gemara. It's a Masorah, Rashi says. Masorah biyadenu, the ain tam ledover. There isn't a specific reason here other than the idea that we don't want any tumah in Yerushalayim any more than is necessary. So even though we generally have a rule of we don't allow halon es a mace, but when you might be doing it for Kavod of the Mace, you're allowed to do Halon Es HaMeis in Yerushalayim. Even for Kavod HaMeis, we don't want Tum in Yerushalayim. There is no specific reason, Rashi says, but the general idea that we don't want to be Marbe Tum in Yerushalayim because it could lead to problems. So these are the 10 explanations for the 10 items that Yerushalayim is somewhat unique compared to the rest of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Now we get back to the Mishnah that we had on Daf Ayin Tesa Mebeis. And the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to grow pigs, chazirim, not only in Yerushalayim, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but any place, a person shouldn't go into the habit of raising pigs. Now, why? What's the chachma behind this? What's the svara behind this? So, Tana Rabbanan, because we learn in the following braisa that this is based upon a historical event that happened. And therefore, the rabbis often would make gezeras based upon some historical event. You're not allowed to wear cleats on Shabbos because of a maisa shahaya, because there once was a trampling of people and it occurred on Shabbos. So the rabbi said, don't wear these spiked shoes, don't wear cleats on Shabbos. So, too, over here, there was a terrible maisa shahaya with a pig. And the rabbi said, from now on, we don't raise pigs. Jewish people don't raise pigs. Tosfos points out, there's a general isser that you're not allowed to go. I mean, Megadol any davar aser. In Dira Matzah, lo, you got Odom Chazerim. Tosa says, Vim Tomah, Tamud Loma, the aser lasso schor b'chol dvarim tmeim. You're not allowed to deal with any type of dvarim tmeim, non kosher animals. It's not a proper thing for a Jew to raise these non kosher things. So why bedavka pigs is different? Enos and schor b'nevelus and treifus. You're not allowed to make schor business, do merchandise with nevelus and treifus. So the Tosa says, "Retirus for Benu Tam, Tainu Dafka Bidavra Omed LaAchila." Those isurim that you're not allowed to go do business with is for something that can be eaten. However, Avol Megadlim Limshoach Oros Bishomnon. If you're using them, however, just for their the fats to go and make the hides to tan them nicely and to have them nice and smooth. Olamachol Yisrael Shimashach Behem. Sorry, but if you're selling them to Yidden to go and use them for work purposes, so you're allowed to sell a donkey, you're allowed to sell a camel, Tosa says. So the chaylev of these animals is mutul limchar because it's not for eating purposes. And the animals, you're allowed to go and sell for work purposes, as he brings down from the Yerushalmi, in the Susi v'chamorim, shari lasus ben schor, you're allowed to do a business and sell horses and donkeys, because they're not for eating. So here it's bedafka because the pigs are for eating, and we don't eat them, so therefore you might have thought that you're selling them for some other purpose, that's for business purposes, to sell to Goyim, you'd be allowed. So therefore the rabbis came along and said, because of this Maisha Shahaya, we don't allow people to be Megadol Chazirim any place in the world. So what's this Maisha Shahaya? Kishitzaru Beis Chashmanoi Zelzeh Nebuch. Sometimes the worst things for the Jewish people, when we fight amongst each other. When we have Achdus, we do well. When Nebuch is fighting amongst us, we don't do so well. So when we all know the story of Hanukkah, when Matisyahu Kohen Gadol took over the Klal Yisrael, so he became like a king. And he had children and descendants. Ultimately, one of them was Alexander Yanai. And he had two children. He had Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. After Alexander Yanai died, his wife, Shlomtzion, who was the sister of Rav Shimon ben Shetach, so she became the queen for a while, and then she turned over the throne to her oldest son, her Bechor, Hyrcanus. And he was supposed to be the king. However, Aristobulus, the younger son, said, no, I want to be the king. And Nebuch, there was a tremendous civil war. So, our gerusa is that Hayo Hyrcanus mi bifnim. Hyrcanus had the inside of the city. He was in charge. However, his brother had a siege. Aristobulus had a siege mi bechutz. In the Gilgal Hashas, brings down that the Gemara in Menachos, Gemara in Sulta, have it the other way around, that Hyrcanus was on the outside and Aristobulus was on the inside. In any event, the one that was on the outside went to get help from the Romans, and this unfortunately introduced the Romans to Eretz Yisrael, and we know, of course, what happened in that situation. So the Romans came in, Pompey came in, and he sided with the brother that was on the outside. Our Gersa has it that it was Hyrcanus on the inside and Aristobulus on the outside. It possibly was the other way around. In any event, the civil war was going on, but the Beis HaMikdash still continued to work. So the people inside needed animals. So they would get an animal sent each day for the Korban Tamid from the people from the outside. Even though they were fighting with each other, they allowed the Korbanos to continue. So b'chol yom, so every day, hayu mishal shim, that's the gears that we have, others are the gears of mishal shulim, lehem bikupa dinarim. So the people on the inside would lower a basket of money, of golden dinarim, to go and purchase these animals. And the people on the outside would then, when they took the money, they would go give them back a animal for the Korban Tomid Shoshachas, the Korban Tomid Shoben Arbaim. But you model them to meet them. They would allow them to go and have the Korban Tomid brought for the morning and the afternoon services. However, there was a terrible person over there. He understood Chochmas Yivonis. We'll see in the Gemara, Chochmas Yivonis is basically a code, a political like language that only the people that were on the inn knew. And anyway, it just mentions that he knew this Chochmas Yivonis, and the Gemara is going to also make a gzera about Chochmas Yivonis. Any event, this very bad person, this one elderly person who knew the political machinations over here, and he knew also that the war wouldn't continue in a positive way for the people on the outside if they kept on allowing the Korban Tamid to be brought. So Amalem, so he told the people on the outside, you know what? stop letting them bring the carbon tumin, and then you'll be victorious. As long as the people on the inside are able to do the avoda, Kosh Baruch says, okay, I'll leave things the way they are. Status quo. And you're not going to be able to be victorious over the people on the inside. You know what you should do? Don't give them the carbon tumin. So that's what they did the next day. When the people on the inside lowered the money, in the next morning, the people on the inside lowered down the golden dinarim like they did every day to go purchase the carbon tumin for that day. But instead of bringing them a seh, so the halulahem chazir, instead of bringing them the carbon tamid, they brought a pig in the basket. And kiven shegiel lechatz yachoma, the pig is going up the wall, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it noat siparno bachoma, the pig dug its feet, its claws into the wall, the nizdazah eretz yisrael. And according to some, it also gave out a shry, it gave out a scream, and it caused eretz yisrael to like have an earthquake. Arba meos parsa. A parsa is 4 mil, so it's a large amount. Arba meos parsa is 400 parsa. That would be like 1,600 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So an area of 1,600 kilometers by 1,600 kilometers had a huge earthquake. And be'osa shamru. And when that event occurred, so the rabbis said from that point and on, arur ho'ish shi'igal chazir. Woe is to the person. Cursed is the person who goes and raises these chazirim. This zokin echad. Unfortunately, caused a terrible calamity over here, and this was leading really into the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash because of his actions. So, curse is the person that goes and raises Chazirim, and since this person also knew Chochma Sivanis, they said the similar thing. This person went off the Derech Mestam because he was involved in the Goyim, he was involved in all of these Chochma Sivanis ideas and ways, and therefore they cursed the person that teaches his children Chochma Sivanis. And the Gemara concludes, the Brisa finishes and says, Ve'aloso shah shaninu. And about that time, there also was the famous Maisa that the Romans, when they came and helped the people on the outside, they also ate up a lot of the crops in the area. And they weren't able to go and bring the carbon omer, which is supposed to be brought from nearby, and the shtehalechem, which is supposed to be brought from crops that are nearby. The carbon omer is brought, of course, on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and the shtehalechem, of course, are brought on Shavuos, and they would bring them from nearby crops. The carbon omer was matir all of the new crops, the chodosh, in the Chulin area, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and the shtehalechem were matir bringing the chodosh crops in the Beis HaMikdash. In any event, it says at that point in time, Tosus brings down that there was somebody in charge by the name of Mordechai, and the whole big discussion was, this the same Mordechai that lived many, many years later in the miracle of Purim, or was just the name Mordechai given to anybody who was in charge of these areas? In any event, where elsewhere has a whole discussion about this Maisa, we're just going to mention over here. It says, also Shah Shaninu. It says about that time, Maisa Shabbat Omer, Meginos HaTzrifim. They had to bring the Omer from a faraway place called Ginos HaTzrifim because the Romans had eaten up all the local barley. And likewise, Ushtei Alechem Yibikas Ein Socher. And likewise, the Ushtei Alechem had to be brought from a faraway place called Ein Socher because they had eaten up all the local surrounding produce. Okay, let's go weiter. I know it's late, but let's try to finish off the parak already. The Chochmas Yivanis mi Osra. Now the Gemara is telling us, really? You're not allowed to do Chochmas Yivanis? Mi Asira? Is that really not allowed? Well, Tanya, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Rav Yehuda Nasi said, Eretz Yisrael return to Pegilam and Aleph. In Eretz Yisrael, Lashon Sursi Lama. Why do we need Lashon Sursi? That's a certain language. Either learn all Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yivanis. Either speak in Hebrew or speak in Greek, which is a beautiful language. Language Greek is because Yaftal Kima Yafas, so the Greek language is a beautiful language. And furthermore, similarly, Vamar of Yossi, in Bavel, some of the Gisa Bid Bavel, Lashon Arami Lama. Why do you need the Aramaic language? Either speak all Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew or Lashon Parsi, which is also a beautiful language. Now, the Gemara just said that you could speak Lashon Yivanis. How can you tell me that the rabbis said, don't go and teach Chochmas Yivanis? The Gemara says, Arme, Lashon Yivani L'chod, Chochmas Yivanis L'chod. These are two separate things. One is the language of the Greeks, a nice language. You can speak that language. But Chochmas Yivanis is something else. It's like a hidden secret sign language and all sorts of codes, and that you shouldn't teach them. Gemara says, really? That's not allowed? But Chochmas Yivanis Miasira. Who says that that's not allowed? After all, if I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, the Amor Rav Yehuda, the same Shmuel, said over me, Shmuel, Eini olulo l'nafshi mikol b'nosi ri. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said about himself, this pasuk that we have from Eichel, which is a tragic pasuk, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed all the daughters of my city. And therefore, Elif Yiladim Hayu Bnei Saba. Rishon Lulul said that in his family there were 1,000 young men. Elif Yiladim Hayu Bnei Saba. And Chamesh Mios Mehem Lamed Torah. 500 of them were in the Kailah. They were learning Torah. And Chamesh Mios Lamed Chokh Sivanis. And another 500 of them learned Chokh Sivanis. How can you tell me you're not going to learn Chokh Sivanis if 500 children in Rishon Lulul's family learned it? And why was this so terrible? The tragedy of Eicha. He said, I and one other person are the only two left from these 1,000 children. I'm the only one left from my family. I live over here, and I have one nephew, Uben Achi Abba. My father's brother's son, Ben Achi Abba, lives Ba'asya in Asia. Asia usually means Asia Minor. So, how can you tell me that you're not learning Chacham Zivanis? See, the 500 people learn Chacham Zivanis. So where it says, no, Amre, Shiny, based on the Leo. That was different because Shuyu, Krov, and the Malchus, they were the important family that always had to deal with the Romans, always had to deal with the politicians. So yeah, they have to know the political language. They have to know all the ins and outs of politics. So they could learn the Chacham Zivanis, but a general person shouldn't learn it. And we have a Bryson in support of this. Chetanya, Hamasapra Kumi, if a person cuts his hair in a certain type of way that the Goyim used to do this, this is either, Rashi tells us, something like a mohawk or something like a ponytail. That's not proper. That's Daki Amori. That's a Vodazar. Don't do that. However, it then tells us, Avtomus Bar Reuven, Hithirlo Sapra Kumi. He, this person, Avtomus Bar Reuven, was permitted to go and had this type of a haircut, the nation called Malchus, because he had to go amongst the Goyim. Tosus brings down that he had to trick the Goyim, and they had to think in Tira Masli, Tiru Lusapra Kumi. So Tosus says the Gemara in Me'ila and Daf Yugimel says that this Avtomus ben Reuven, he cut his hair this way, Shalo Yakir Shu Yehudi, the Hitosav. So he could go amongst them, and they wouldn't say, well, there's the Jew, we're not going to listen to him. So he would be able to go and fool them, and they thought that he was one of them. He wasn't a Jew, and therefore they would listen to him, and he was able to go and get rid of several harsh anti-Semitic decrees. So he has Karvel Malchus. And the Brisa says, likewise, they were allowed to learn this Chochmas Sivanis if they needed it for the fact that they were Karvel Malchus. Then it said in the Mishnah, Lo Yigad Lodim Zakelev, Elo Imken Kosher B'Shal Shalos Chulei. You're not supposed to grow dogs also because it could lead to trouble. They're the dangerous, vicious dogs. We have a Brisa that expands on this. Tana Rabbanan, Lo Yigad Lodim Zakelev, Elo Imken Kosher B'Shal Shalos. You're only allowed to raise a dog if you keep it tied up. Avu Magad Lo Be'ir B'Smucha Lusfar, but you can't grow it in the border cities where the enemy is right there. So you needed these vicious dogs to protect you. They were guard dogs. They were attack dogs. So you would chain them up during the day and you could let them go at night when the attacks might come. We see Nebuchadnezzar that they use dogs to go figure out sometimes where the bombs are and to help them go and defeat our Rishayim enemies. So they would do the kosher bayom. They were tied up during the day when they weren't worried about the attack so much. They could see themselves went through Belila, and they would let them loose at night to go and kill the terrorists that might be coming to attack them. Tanya learned another brayso. If you raise dogs, it's the same thing like raising pigs, which we said was an oror. Why is he telling us this? So to teach us that just like it's cursed if you go raise the pigs, so too you're cursed if you go raise dogs. Amr Yosef Bar Min Yumni, Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef Rav Nun said, Amr Rav Nachman, Bavel Kira Smucha L'Sfar Domi, that the city of Bavel, which was near enemies, near people that were dangerous, so then it's like a border city in Eretz Yisrael, and they were given permission to raise the dogs, Tagama Nardoi. And which city are they talking about? They're talking about the city of Nardoi. Okay. Now, Gemara continues and says, Darish Rav Distoy Demin Biri, Rav Distoy who comes from the city of Biri. Biri is not Beiri, which Nebuch was one of the kibbutzim, was very, very hard hit by the Rishayim. But Biri is the name of a place up in the north. Ubenucho Yomai quotes the pasuk Ubenucho Yomai when the Aron was put to rest in the Midbar. So they said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yomai Shuv Hashem Rivvos Alfa Yisrael. Come back to the Rivvos Alfa Yisrael. Rivvos means at least two, and Alfa means at least two. So Rivvos is a 2 10,000s, and Alfa is at least 2,000. So therefore, come back when there's 22,000 people over here, Lamedcha, and we darshan this, Shein Shechina Shorah Yisrael, you don't have this level of the Shechina on Eretz Yisrael, Pachs Mishnei Alofim Ushnei Revolvos. We have the Miut, Rabim is always two, so when it says Revolvos, the Miut is two, Tofasim Rubu Lo Tofasim, you say it's worth more than that, so then, who proves it? But at least it's 2 10,000s and 2 1,000s, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return the Shechina, so to say, when you have 22,000 people there. But the Chiddush over here is, if you only have one less than that, Chaser Achas, you only have 21,999, so then you're not going to have the Shechina there in the same presence. And therefore, for example, you had the 21,999 people and a woman that was pregnant. There was a pregnant woman there. Oh, when she gives birth, that would be the 22,000th person. And Nebuch, she would be able, when this baby gives birth, to go and fill this number to 22,000. But she goes and Nebuch miscarries. The Nebuch Bokela Vipila, a dog barked and that scared her, and she, Nebuch, miscarried. So it turns out that this dog stopped the Shechina from dwelling in Klai Yisrael the way it would have otherwise. This causes the Shechina to leave Eretz Yisrael. How Itza, the ones who was a woman, a pregnant woman, the Olas Lameifor Bahu Beza, that she went into somebody else's house. They didn't always have their own ovens. So she went to a rich neighbor's house who had an oven, and she went there to go and bake her challah. So Navach Bokabu, but there was a dog there, and the dog barked. And the owner of the dog said to her, don't worry about it. That dog, his bark is worth in his bite. He just barks a lot, but he doesn't do anything. He's not a dangerous dog. Omele Mari, the owner of the dog, said to the woman, Lo Tistafemine, don't be scared of this dog. He's not going to do anything. Shkule Nive, I took out his teeth. He's not going to be able to harm you. In other words, he's an old dog and he's harmless. However, she said to him, Nebuch, he's not so harmless. Amalei, she said to him, Shkile Tivosech, go take your goodness that you tried to go and tell me, don't worry about this dog. Vishaja Achizri, and go throw it onto the thorns, because Nebuch, the dog barked and it scared me. And Kvar Nod Vlad, and the Vlad moved already. In other words, Nebuch, the Vlad miscarried. So therefore, all of that, you're trying to tell me not to be nervous, it didn't do any good. You raised this dog, and it scared me, even though it's not physically dangerous, its bark scared me. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Ain parson nishbin leyonim v'chule. We said, you're not allowed to go and spread out nets to go capture birds, unless you're at least 30 ris away from the city, where people might have their own personal doves, so you only have to go and capture the doves that are wild doves. Gemara says, Umi ozikulehai, do doves travel so far, 30 ris, 4 mil? But now we learned in the Mishnah that the doves seem to go and only eat from nearby. The Mishnah in Bava Basra tells us, you only have to make your shovach a distance of 50 amma from the city, and therefore you're going to have only your own doves there. You're not going to capture other people's doves. That's only 50 amma. What are you telling me? 4 kilometers, 4 mil, 30 ris. So Gemara says, I'm a bai. No, that's a different thing. Neshet shaite tuva. In fact, the doves can go much more. They can go the 4 mil. They can go the 30 ris. However, they'll only eat within a certain distance of where they are. Kerei sayu, they fill up their stomachs, b'chamishim amamaya. So in the first 50 yama, they're going to fill up their stomachs. So if you're going to make a dove coat, you're going to make the shovach, so keep a distance from the city, so you won't have the doves going and eating other people's grain from the city. Furthermore, umeishat shloshim ris v'sulo. So now we go the other way. You're telling me the doves only fly a distance of 30 ris, and not more than that, only these 4 mil. Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Yishuv, when you're in a established area in the Yishuv, afilu meya mil lo yifros. And even if you're 100 mil from the area that people are living, so you're not allowed to go spread out your nets to capture doves, because the doves will be from the people nearby, and therefore even 100 mil, which is far more than the 4 mil of the 30 ris that our Mishnah said. So how do you reconcile that? So Rabbi Yosef Amar, the issue of Kramim. We're dealing here when there are a lot of vineyards. The birds will fly from vineyard to vineyard to vineyard, and therefore they'll travel much further. And therefore they still might be private birds, and therefore you can't set up your traps more than 100 mil because of the Kramim. That's the answer of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Amar, the issue of Shovchen, that there are many other dovecotes there, so it'll go from one dovecote to another dovecote. So one says, if that's your concern, the Tabuk Lemi Shum Shovachin Gufayu. So then, what do you worry about the city? Worry about that you're going to steal somebody else's dovecotes that are doves from their dovecote. It's a series of dovecotes. So one says, no, that's not a concern, because Ibai is saying, we have two tables over here. Either number one, bid the Oved Kochavim, that there aren't dovecotes that belong to Jewish people, and therefore you're not intentionally stealing them, but we don't have to be concerned. We don't have to make gazeres that you can't go and build your traps near their dovecotes. Alternatively, Ibai is saying, did they have care? Or Teretz number two, that the dovecotes weren't owned by anybody. So they're dovecotes here, so the birds will fly very far, but there's no concern about stealing from another person in that situation, because it doesn't belong to anybody. No, but you have to be concerned that they still may come from the city. That's why you have to distance of even 100 mil. And the third and final teretz, the Yibayi Seima, B'didei. No, it's one person. He owns those dovecotes, so the birds will fly very, very far. That's why you have to distance yourself a much further distance when there are dovecotes there, but there's no concern about stealing from the dovecotes themselves, because they belong to you, and therefore there is no concern of geneva from other dovecotes. With this, we can conclude the beautiful seventh perek. Hadron Lecha, perek HaMaruba, Hadron Lecha Maruba, Hadron Lecha Maruba, Hadron Lecha Maruba, and Yitzhak Hashem, we're going to start the eighth perek tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.